Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I appreciate you being with us on this time on Sunday morning where we study together from God's Word. We would also like for you to come visit us. We would be glad to have you. Our worship services are open. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We are worshiping safely together during this time, and it is a great opportunity to come and worship God. Come be with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. If you need a ride to the service, please call 931-647-1324. We'll do what we can to get you a ride to the service. 931-647-1324. Our motto is, where we speak the truth in love. And we want to speak God's truth in a loving way to help us go to heaven. We meet at 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning and 6 p.m. on Sunday evening and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. All of our previous Let the Bible Speak programs are housed on our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org, and other materials are there for your study. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to ask the question, why do you read your Bible? That may seem like a simple question, or maybe even a question that doesn't need to be asked. Well, of course, I read my Bible to get something from it, to get some value from it. But I want to ask this morning, why do you read your Bible? In the Bible, we find various individuals, both in the Old and New Testament, reading the Word of God. Scripture was read in the Lord's church. Letters were read from the Apostle Paul to the congregation, Colossians 4:16, 1 Thessalonians 5:27. Letters from Paul to another church would be written in a congregation, even though it might be read to another one. They might read one that had gone to another group to benefit from that particular message. The seven churches of Asia were to read the epistles that were written to them at the beginning of the book of Revelation. Public reading of Scripture took place, 1 Timothy 4:13. Individual or private reading of Scripture took place in Acts 17 and verse 11. So clearly the Word of God was read. But the question I want to ask this morning is why? Why do you read the Word of God? I want to share with you at the beginning of this program some statistical material from a few years back regarding the reading of the Word of God. This was a poll that was taken, and it was entitled, Americans Love the Bible But Don't Read It Much. More than half of Americans think the Bible has too little influence on a culture they see in moral decline. Yet only one in five Americans read the Bible on a regular basis, according to this survey. More than three-quarters of Americans, about 77%, think the nation's morality is headed downhill, according to a new survey from American Bible Society. That is a group that prints Bibles, many Bibles, not only in English, but in a lot of different languages around the world. The survey showed the Bible is still firmly rooted in American soil. For example, about 88% of respondents said they own a Bible. About 80% think the Bible is sacred. About 61% wish they read the Bible more. And the average household has 4.4 Bibles. If the Bible is so commonplace in America, wouldn't its moral teachings counteract the downward trend? You would think that with all the Bibles across the land, that the morality of society would be much higher. but it's not, and we're seeing a downward spiral in morality. So people have Bibles, but they're either not reading them at all, which is very common, or when they do read it, it's for the wrong purpose, the wrong motive. Almost a third of the respondents said moral decline was a result of people not reading the Bible, while 29% cited the negative influence of America, and 1 in 4 cited corporate corruption. Doug Birdsall, president of American Bible Society, said he sees a reason why the Bible isn't connecting with people. He said, quote, "I see the problem as analogous to obesity in America. We have an awful lot of people who realize they're overweight, but they don't follow a diet," Birdsall said. He goes on to say, quote, "People realize the Bible has values that would help us in our spiritual health, but they just don't read it," end quote. So people have a positive outlook on the Bible, they just ignore it. If they do read it, the majority, approximately 57%, only read their Bibles about 4 times a year or less. Only 26% of Americans said they read their Bible on a regular basis, 4 or more times a week. Younger people also seem to be moving away from the Bible. A majority, 57% of those ages 18 to 22, read their Bibles less than 3 times a year, if at all. And this was taken a few years back, but the trend is most likely about the same today. So why do you read the Bible? And I would assume that a lot of people listening to the program this morning are interested in Bible matters, spiritual things, religious things. A lot of people on Sunday morning will listen to religious programming, and that's good. Of course, it needs to be that which is coming from the Word of God, and it needs to be something that we want to apply in our lives, not just simply listen. And so we're going to look in just a moment at 7 reasons why people read the Bible. It's not an exhaustive list, but 7 common reasons. And the first 5 are wrong, and the last 2 are good. And so a person can read their Bible, but really not either understand it or know it or want to apply it. And it's important then to ask the question, why do you read your Bible? And the question that we're asking this morning, Jesus asked that question. Now, he didn't word it like that. But Jesus would ask individuals why they read Scripture. And he did that in 3 different ways. He would say, "Have you not read? Did you never read? And how do you read?" That was Jesus' way of asking the question, why do you read the Bible? Let's look at a few examples of this from the Gospels in Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, "At that season Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the grain fields, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck ears and to eat. But the Pharisees, when they saw it, said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which is not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? But I say unto you that one greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this meaneth, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So Jesus said, have you not read what David did, and have you not read what the priests did. Well, they had read those accounts before. But he's asking, have you not read to understand what those things are and make application to situations in your own day? Physically reading something is one thing, and perceiving it, understanding it, making application of it is quite another. But he said, have you not read? Another example of this is in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. Jesus is asked, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? We would say divorce. And he answered and said, have you not read, and this is a quotation from Genesis 2, have you not read that he who made him from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He expected them to read Genesis chapter 2, and having read that, to conclude what he concluded, and that is that God joined them together, let not man put asunder. It's an implication, it's a conclusion from that account of Adam and Eve. And they were to have read that and concluded that. So that's Jesus basically saying to them, how do you read these things? You've read them physically before. You know the material. You've read the words. But are you making the application? In other words, how are you reading? What is your motive? What are you trying to accomplish? What is your goal? And that's an important question. Look at another example in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 23. On that day there came to him Sadducees that say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said, if a man die, and this is a quotation from Deuteronomy 25. So we know that they had read the scripture. They read scripture. So they're quoting Deuteronomy 25. If a man die, having no children, and his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first married and deceased, and having no seed, left his wife unto his brother. In like manner, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And after them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. But Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, and then he quotes from Exodus chapter 3, Moses and the burning bush, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. Have you not read? Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? Well, they had read Exodus 3 and the account of the burning bush, but they had not understood that and made the application with regard to living on after death. And Jesus says, and quotes, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am, present tense. When God said that to Moses at the burning bush, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead physically, but God said, I am, present tense, their God, implying that they're still living. There is life after death. And they were living on. We live on after we die. We go to Hades, the realm of departed spirits. Our spirit lives on. And so there will be a resurrection. But they had read that verse and had not understood and made that application. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Turn back just one chapter, verse 16, Matthew 21, 16. After what we call the triumphal entry, Jesus coming into Jerusalem the last week before his crucifixion, and all of the people are crying out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, Matthew 21, 15. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what these are saying? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, did you never read? And then this quotation from the book of Psalms, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Did you never read? Well, they would have read that before, but they didn't read that and understand that even the children would be praising God. And that's what they were doing. The children were crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna, verse 15. And then turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 26. Luke chapter 10 and verse 26, when Jesus is confronted by a certain lawyer who stood up and made trial of him. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Matthew 10, 25. And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you read? He wasn't asking, how do you physically read? Do you read fast or slow? Do you read quietly or loudly? Do you pronounce the words correctly? That's not what he's asking when he asks, how do you read? It's how do you read it and understand it and apply it? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. It's one thing to read something, and it's another thing to go out and practice it. So, even Jesus himself was asking, especially the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and Pharisees, how do you read your Bible? Let's look now at seven ways in which a person could read the Word of God and ask yourself, do I find myself somewhere in here? In reading the Word of God, number one, some people say that they read it, but it's just simply to satisfy their curiosity. They might be bored and they thumb through the Bible. The Bible might be at a doctor's office like it used to be years ago, and I still see some every once in a while. It might be in a hotel room. Maybe the Gideons left a Bible in a hotel room and person nothing on TV and person doesn't have anything to do, so he thumbs through the Bible. And I appreciate that interest, of course, but there's got to be more than that. But they often are just curious. And they read the Bible without doing anything about it. You may remember in Jeremiah chapter 36 when Jeremiah delivers his word to Jehoiakim and they read the word of God. But when he heard it, he just simply heard it and then cut it up and cut up the scroll and threw it in the fire. Jeremiah 36, 23, It came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves that the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the brazier until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier, and they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. So it's just simply listening but not doing anything about it. Some people will read the Bible in order to fill out a Sunday school lesson, but really nothing more. Some people will read the Bible to win Bible trivia. There have been Bible questions on Jeopardy through the years with Alex Trebek, and individuals will be able to answer those questions because they study Bible trivia. But there needs to be more than that. God wanted the king and others to go out and be afraid, rend their garments, be humble, be fearful, respect the word of God, put it into practice in their life, but they didn't want that. They were so wicked by this time. Do you read the Bible just simply to satisfy some sort of curiosity? Number two, some people read the Bible to maintain a routine or a tradition. They read the Bible without understanding it, applying it, or seeking truth. It's just something you do. And so on Sundays, there will be maybe scripture that is read at a religious service, and they'll go through the motions. The service is all planned out in advance, and there are actually some religions that have Bible readings that are already mapped out for the year. And there's nothing wrong with being organized, don't get me wrong, but they just simply go through the reading as a part of a routine or a ritual, and people sit there and kind of endure the reading until the service moves on to something else. And so we need to be careful about that. We need to read the Word of God in order to understand it, not just simply go through the motions of reading it. When the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the Word of God as he was traveling back from Jerusalem, traveling back home, Philip meets up with him and asks a great question. Do you understand what you read? Acts 8:30. How can I except one shall guide me? The Ethiopian said. We need to understand what we are reading. That is extremely important. And so sometimes people read on a regular basis, but that doesn't mean they are understanding and making the application. Here's an example. If you turn over to Acts chapter 13, when Paul came to Antioch, it was a common place for him to go into the synagogue. And Acts 13:15, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Every Sabbath day, they read from the law. But come on down to verse 27, for they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. The prophets spoke ahead of time of the coming of Jesus Christ. They read these prophets every Sabbath day, and they had read that before Jesus came, but they still didn't know Jesus. So you can read something every week and go through the motions and go through the traditions, but that doesn't mean that we are understanding and making applications. The Jews did not do that in many ways, and that's still going on today. We find something similar in Acts 15:21. So we don't just simply want to go through a ritual or routine. Number three, some people read their Bible to win an argument. Like people argue over politics, people argue over religion, and they want to make some point. They want to use it in order to win an argument. They don't really know their Bible. They don't understand it. They don't live it. But at the last minute, in order to win an argument, they bring up a verse and they'll quote it. And a lot of times they'll Google it, they'll try to find it real quickly in some way, and they'll look up one word that they're trying to get in order to win an argument. Or a lot of times they will quote something maybe that they've heard from childhood, like, judge not, lest ye be not judged, Matthew 7, verse 21. They take that out of context. They really don't know the context. They don't know the background of what Jesus meant by that. but it's just sort of a way to win an argument if they feel like they're being judged. Well, Jesus said, judge not, Matthew 7, verse 1. So it's kind of like that. When the devil was tempting Jesus, Jesus was responding to him by saying, it is written. Then the devil, this is the one time in Scripture where the devil quotes Scripture. The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, cast thyself down. Matthew 4, verse 6. For it is written, and then he quotes from the Psalms, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone. So he quotes a verse that looks like it says that if you jump down, the angels will help you. But he took that verse out of its context. That verse is not talking about jumping off the temple and trying and testing God. That verse is talking about trusting in God on a daily basis and God will take care of you, not putting God in a testing situation to bail you out. That's a different situation, and that verse doesn't apply to trying or testing God. But the devil tried to use it to win an argument or to bolster his case, and people will do that today. Sometimes, number four, sometimes people will quote the Bible to get something out of it. Just read it in order to find justification for what they want. They read the Bible to back up what they're saying. And a lot of times you'll see people do this, and again, they misquote or they take passages out of context. And we read earlier where the Sadducees were doing that kind of thing in Matthew chapter 22 when they brought up that matter about if a man die and have no children. They brought up Deuteronomy 25. And they made it sound like that there's a conundrum here, a problem here. If he marries all of these different women, then in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? And so, you know, there is a situation here, or the one woman marries these seven brothers, whose wife shall she be? It makes it look like there's a problem when there's really not. So people read in order to try to prove, proof texting or justification for what they want. And I see this often too with politicians and others who will misquote Scripture. Some will read it to twist it, 2 Timothy 3:16, number 5, they read it to twist it. But the last two are important, to read in order to apply and obey God's word, and to read in order to come to know God and Jesus Christ. When we read, we are blessed if we go out and do it. We are to be hearers and doers, James chapter 1, and hearers and doers, and we will be blessed, Revelation 1 verse 3. That's why we need to be reading the Bible. Are you reading the Bible for that reason? To hear, believe, and obey. Thank you for your time this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program.